pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. So have you ever been in a situation or a place where you immediately thought something like, I'm probably not supposed to be here? Not in like an illegal or trespassing type of way, but in a way that when you're looking around and you know that everyone has stopped what they're doing and they have turned to watch you and just see what you are. So many movies have had this scene in them, haven't they? You know, the out-of-towner walks in and everybody stops and stares. Well, I recently had that experience. A few months ago, I was driving back from a clergy retreat in western North Carolina in the mountains. And when I was driving back, I prefer to take the road less traveled. You know, it's a little bit slower, I realize that, but the scenery is always better than driving down the interstate. So I was driving down these back roads and taking in the beautiful fall scenery and the cool fall weather, and I realized that I hadn't had any coffee that morning, so I pulled over in one of these small mountain towns to get a cup of coffee. And wouldn't you know it, this is exactly when one of those moments took place. So, just like one of those movie scenes. So I walked into this mostly empty coffee shop. I walked in and there was only the woman working behind the counter, and then an older gentleman was sitting at a table near the counter. And I could tell they had been talking before I came in, and they were quiet immediately when I walked in and up to the counter. And I ordered my coffee, and while I was waiting for the coffee, the older gentleman looks over at me and says, "Are you from around here? Or are you just passing through?" That's when it hit me. I might not be supposed to be here. Well, turns out that we had a conversation. It went very well, very cordial conversation. The man was actually the mayor of the town. And the woman had started this coffee shop in honor of her late husband, who was a military veteran. And so we had a nice, albeit short, conversation about that, about the town, about how people drive way too fast through the town. And they warned me to drive safe and watch out for the tourists driving way too fast, and sent me off with my hot cup of really good coffee. Maybe I wasn't supposed to be there. Maybe I was. But I was able to listen and learn and had a pretty good interaction after all. Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, three of his closest disciples, up to the top of a high mountain. Were they thinking the same thing at some point? Are you sure we're supposed to be here? Why us three? Are we supposed to be here? Well, but up on that mountaintop, they experienced one of the most important and life-changing events in their time. And certainly, they had many life-changing experiences during their 3 years with Jesus on earth. But up on this mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration, in all of his glorious radiance, the full divinity of Jesus appeared to them, appeared to these three on the top of that mountain. Along with that great, that glowing, glorious radiance, the full divinity of Jesus, came Moses and Elijah. Now, we know that Jesus told everyone, all those the crowds that were gathered, including these three disciples, in his Sermon on the Mount, that he came into the world not to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill the law and the prophets. And Jesus is now showing these three disciples, Peter, James, and John, that he indeed is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Moses represents the law. The law that was given from God through Moses on Mount Sinai to the people of Israel. And Elijah represents the prophets, as Elijah was considered the greatest of the prophets in Israel. And it is with the accompaniment of these now heavenly residents that Jesus showed his glorious, radiant divinity to those three closest friends. And Peter didn't quite know what to do. He was terrified, the text tells us, doesn't it? Should we even be here? I know what we'll do. I know. Let's make tents. We'll make three tents, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah, so that we can stay here forever. This is an amazing thing. We have to stay here. Peter is experiencing the full divinity of Jesus right there in front of his face, and he still doesn't get it. He doesn't understand what is actually taking place. If he did understand, then he certainly would not have built three tents. It would have been one tent only. Elijah and Moses, as great as they were, are not equal with Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And then they heard that great voice from God booming from out of the cloud that spoke to them that day, saying, "This is my son. Listen to him." Listen to him. Peter, you don't have to do right now. You don't have to build these tents right now. Listen to Jesus. And when Peter, James, and John heard this voice booming from the clouds, this heavenly voice, the voice of God the Father himself, they looked around, and all that's there is Jesus. Elijah and Moses, we're gone. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Moses and Elijah only appeared for a short period of time, but Jesus was there the whole time. Then the group came down the mountain, and Jesus spoke to them as they were coming down the mountain. He commanded them, actually, and said, "Tell no one what you have heard until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Don't say anything to anyone about what took place just now until after the resurrection." Now, they certainly didn't know the fullness of what that meant yet either, but they would soon. And in Peter's letter, he does just that. Peter's letter, written after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, after the ascension, of course, after the transfiguration. Peter wrote this letter to those who believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. And he retold the glorious story of Jesus' full divinity being shown in the radiant transfiguration, glowing with all the light of his glory. The Son of Man had been risen from the dead. Now Peter knows it's time to tell what happened. And then, and what he does, what Peter does in this letter, again, in fulfillment of the law and the prophets, Peter contends to his readers, this is what he says, "And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention to as a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men speak from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." In other words, Peter has finally realized what it means for Jesus to be the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, especially the prophets in this case. The fulfillment and the perfection of Moses and Elijah, as great as they were still sinners who fell short of the grace and glory of God. and are redeemed by the glory of Jesus Christ. Again, going back to the Sermon on the Mount. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told all the people, all the crowds that were gathered together, including those disciples, all of the disciples, but including those three, he says to them, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Peter, James, and John heard these words on the Mount of Transfiguration. They heard these words at the Sermon on the Mount. But now, through and after the Transfiguration, Crucifixion, Resurrection, and Ascension, they understand what they mean. They heard the words, and now they understand. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus appeared before them as a radiant, bright light. The brightest light any of them had ever seen, so that they would become the light of the world after Jesus goes back into heaven. And this light that he gives, was to work through, only through, the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter, James, and John, and subsequently all believers in Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, you and I, would then carry this light in the world. We are the carriers of this light. The light that Jesus gave in the Mount of Transfiguration, we are that light. That light shines through us. Do you know that? That light shines through us. To be a lamp shining in a dark place. To be a city set on a hill. To be the light of the world through Jesus Christ, through our faith in Jesus Christ, and to do good works for him, shining that light for all to see. And it all begins with simply listening to Jesus. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to him." While he speaks, we listen. Just as the psalmist wrote, "Be still and know that I am God." Because in the perfection of time, the radiant light from Jesus will take hold in our own lives so that we can be that light for others. Even when we may be in a place where I don't think I belong, am I supposed to be here? Take a minute. Take a minute. Assess the situation. Don't rush to judgment. Listen to the Lord and be the light of God in the life of another. As that great encouragement from Jesus himself says, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Now, a long time ago, I subscribed to an email list of a Bible verse of the day. And honestly, I am ashamed to say that I've never looked at that email when it comes in every day. It just goes right to the delete clicks, you know. But this morning, for whatever reason, that verse caught my eye. And I opened it up and I read that verse. And it wholly connects to this theme of being the light of Christ for another in our lives. The verse was from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, which says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us." Maybe we are supposed to be. Maybe it is a good thing that we see the radiance of Jesus and his light shining brightly. And maybe, just maybe, we should be that light for others. Friends, the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is the source of light within our hearts, in our lives, and shining in the dark places of the world. And when we take Jesus' words seriously, when we truly believe the words that he says, our light will shine in the life of another, and it is all for a very, very good reason. It is all for the glory of God. Amen.
Creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Oh, praise him, hallelujah. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise him. Thinks their creator bless and worship him in humbleness. Oh, praise him, hallelujah. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise him. Oh, praise him. Oh, praise him.